This is both some, it's something that's like kind of a contradiction that's hard to, can be hard to navigate in RG, is like philanthropy versus investment, giving money versus investing money. And I know one thing that my mom and I both share is a disdain for philanthropy and for charity. You know, for my mom, it's about like feeling like your money isn't really going to the right things, you know, like that, knowing that and seeing for herself that there are a lot of people who will use nonprofits as a way to exploit other people. And I've seen that too, you know, in different ways. And so there's a fine line between thinking about like how to, different ways to redistribute your money, but really about like sort of, my mom said, like, how are you distributing your resources overall? And like, how is it aligned with what's going to make you happy and what's going to make your community happy, you know? And I think as far as risks go, the biggest risk I've taken with the Family mm-hmm. Foundation was starting our mutual aid fund, for sure. And that was something that came, it was a decision that came off of many years of already being involved in the solidarity economy, of already having like used the Family Foundation as a way to fiscally sponsor projects that otherwise would never have been able to receive funding. I think that was a big key for us, is like, you know, we didn't have a lot of assets in the foundation when I first started managing it. Like, we didn't have money to give or grants to give, but we did have 501c3 status, which is something that a lot of organizations, a lot of grassroots groups in particular, don't have and frankly don't want. And so being able to use that C3 status to give some legitimacy and also to like provide kind of administrative support to projects was actually something that was really valuable for a lot of groups that I had been involved with for a long time. So we kind of took it to the next level whenever COVID hit, and just seeing, you know, the huge scale of what things are going to happen, and knowing that, you know, the typical social service agencies and philanthropies and charities like weren't going to solve the problem. They weren't going to get money to people directly, because most organizations like will refuse to give money to individuals. And it took me like doing some extra research to realize that that actually isn't a tax limitation. It's just a moral limitation. You know, it's like people don't trust that you could get money to people directly, and that they know what they need and that they can spend it, and that we don't need to have a say on how they spend it. And so the mutual aid fund was something that came from the local community, from the organizing community that people wanted to give to and that people needed from, but the only place that we could house it, there's no way that I would have been able to find any kind of nonprofit organization in St. Louis that would have been willing to take that risk of housing that mutual aid fund. But I was empowered by my mom and by my family to make that decision to get it set up anyway. And then to kind of take a step back and research the consequences later. And that's what I did. And so that's something that I'm, you know, truly grateful for. It's like, there's all kinds of, I think being on that side of it, of both an organizer, a funder through the foundation, as well as like an administrator or, you know, somebody who's behind the scenes, like actually having to like make this stuff work. It's given me a much closer look into, and a much actually like clearer critique of like how these systems work and how they, all the different ways in which they are exploitative and not in line with the solidarity economy.